Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people talk is who we are. Excuse my yelling, man, I'm kinda working on my raw. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanking. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly banging.
Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, cause I'm strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog. That's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Going hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Like eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross daddy boy on his back.
On
the
his
kingdom
back.
Being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
What's going on, good people? Welcome back to another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. Y'all know who this is. Whew, just had to run through the house right quick. Let's start the show off right. Giving honor to God, whom every day I make the head of my life. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom all my blessings flow. To my pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center. To my wife, all of you. What's going on, everybody? Yeah, I waited till the last minute to run upstairs, trying to get my son to feed the dog. He's asleep. Try to run through the basement, up the stairs, through the house, into his room and do it again. And yeah. Anywho, got a great show lined up for y'all tonight, man. It's a blessing to be back in front of you all again. Don't forget, no Kingdom Talk next Tuesday night, man. Got some family things going on, so you know, got to make sure you take care of the first ministry, which is my house first. All right. If you're listening, if you're streaming through your iPod, your iPad, your DAC, your desktop, your laptop, whatever the case your streaming device may be, feel more than free to call in 347-996-5129. The show tonight is going to be about forgiveness. And you know we're going to jump in very soon, man. So let's just recap the week, man. Everybody been all right? Me personally, man, been good. Work as well. As you all know, I know, y'all, my week's starting to run together. Me and the wife celebrated 11 years, man, and I'm truly blessed. She's actually out, her and my daughter right now, doing a play where they're rehearsing for a play that's going to be in Mississippi on next month. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But, however, God is steady using her and my daughter. And a huge shout-out, man, to my middle daughter, Khaleesh. She turned 17 yesterday, man. Oh, my God. 17, dude. That is it's crazy, y'all. So, yeah. Y'all continue to keep me in your prayers. Man, I was doing a Facebook Live feed or video right before the show came on tonight, man. And I'm going to try to make that a regular thing. Keep one another in prayer. You know, I understand sometimes when we're going through things, we may just say something like, just keep your boy in prayer. Or, you know, throw a word of prayer up for me. Or, you know, however that you say it. And I've learned in my short time on this earth, when it comes to prayer, if you're going to pray for someone, I mean, I don't have to know, like, the ins and the outs, you know what I'm saying? But I want to know what I'm praying for. I want to agree with you. You know what I'm saying? And I'd like for you to do the same with me. I want you to at least ask, you know, okay, Tony, you know, you want me to pray with you, for you, whatever the case may be. What's your end game for your prayer? So I'm asking y'all right here, right now, man, keep me in prayer that I continue to succeed at my new job, that I continue to use wisdom and understanding in my finances to get to keep things in order with my finances. That means continue to sow the right seeds in the right places. And I'm gonna say this, y'all, and I'm gonna be like really, really transparent when I say this. Well, I ain't gonna give too much away, man, because you know what I'm saying, that there's another time and another place for that. My giving dropped off because of certain situations, you know what I'm saying? Some was financial, some was personal, you know, and there would be a time that one day I know that, you know, so I will fully disclose, you know what I'm saying, the situation that I'm still going through in my heart right now, all right? So I'm going to leave it at that for right now. But my giving had, like, dropped off tremendously. To I was given here and there, you know what I'm saying? And I tried to make I don't want to say a living, but I was just trying to do work, you know what I'm saying? When I go out to the store, you know, a grocery store, if I seen someone, you know, in front of me, behind me, you know what I'm saying, I would, you know what I'm saying, take care of their groceries or whatever. Just being combative, you know what I'm saying, of the word, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, I just trying to be a good doer, but not doing what the word says, you know what I'm saying? Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, you know? So I was using my own understanding and my own feelings to do what I wanted to do. And things began to crumble for me. I was blessed with this new job back in November. And, as I was getting through my circumstance about a month ago, you know, when I finally, you know what I'm saying, went back to church because my situation started to get better, I started giving once again, like seriously, and just seeing things turn around, you know what I'm saying? I'm still giving outside the church as well, but I'm, you know what I'm saying, giving, you know, even though we were not at church this past Sunday, you know what I'm saying, I sent my offering, you know. And I just see little things turning around. So, y'all, I'm just going to be honestly up front with you, man. Continue to give. You know what I'm saying? You got to try God at his word. And there's a show coming on that. You know what I'm saying? 100%. You know, because sometimes people attach things to giving and to God's word that should not be there. So we really want to break down, you know what I'm saying, tithes, offering, giving, whatever the case may be. So I just said that to say this, man. May God continue to bless you with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for what you need. May he continue to bless me with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, man, to continue to move on. The word is the Lord's, man, the fullness thereof. And since I'm an heir, I'm a child, man, I have to look like, and I don't mean like flashing as far as Jordans and things like that, but I have to step in and live the way Daddy says that I can live, you know what I'm saying, through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to leave that at that. So this is what we're going to do, man. We're going to go to Darren Johnson right quick with Can I Holler at You? And we'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk on Blog Talk very shortly. Here we go.
My people, what's going on? It's another awesome week. It's time for me to find out if I can holler at you. Look, I just want to jump straight into it. I want to talk about something, and I guess the best way to kind of put a topic on it will be presenting the presence, presenting his presence. So, quick backdrop to this. You know, I work two jobs, so my second job, I really get to just get in my zone, do my work, but my mind gets to really wrap around the things. And so I clean this church building, so I'm really diving in with the presence of God. So I heard something. It was a Christian artist who presented this song, and the song was presented to the church in a way of saying kind of, why won't you hear what we say in older church? This Christian rap has a place. And as I listened to the song, I said, man, the song is awesome. The lyrics are so crisp and clean. But I thought, how many older saints or the traditional church would really receive what he's saying because of how you presented it? So I got to really asking myself, the question to myself was, you know, can the purpose get lost based on how you deliver it? And the answer to myself was yes. You know, and I thought about a scripture and, you know, where we've read that until you meet the needs of the people, they will not hear or receive it. So until you meet the needs of the people, they won't hear or receive it. So that means meeting somebody's needs when you're ministering to them, when you're talking to them, whatever the case, it's important. It's crucial. So how does this happen? You know, we have to identify the people's needs so that we can meet them so then they can hear us. And the way that this happens is we have to flow and operate in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? We got to operate in the spirit of God. And I apologize if I'm talking quick, but I got a lot and I got to be mindful of my man's time. We got to operate and flow in the spirit. God don't make mistakes, first off. You know, so when we start to think that our appearance or our style is what will lead or attract people to Christ, we wrong. We ain't smarter than God. You know, whether we're youth leaders, Christian rappers, whatever the case, and we think, you know, I gotta wear golds, I gotta show my tattoos, you know, I gotta dress like they dress, I gotta listen to secular music because that's what's gonna attract them. You are not smarter than God. If you are operating in his will and doing what he purposed and planned for your life, I guarantee you the way that my name is Darren, that he will give you everything you need to impact somebody. He's going to give you all the things. He's going to impart that in your life so that you can make an impact in the area that he's given you authority in. So you ain't smarter than him. Don't try to make your style a forbit or fashion it after somebody else, because that's what you think. Anytime we start to think with an I mindset, we done messed up. He didn't say, let my mind be in me. That's also in me. The mind is supposed to be of Christ. You're supposed to operate with the mind of Christ. Be ye renewed. We new creatures. How you going to operate with your old mindset to try to get a new result? Ridiculous. I know it. I said the same thing, right? So you have to. It's kind of like this. When you go to a job interview, you dress a certain way because you have to do the job. So I want you to understand that, no, I'm not saying you got to go to with a suit and a tie, but understand that God's going to give you what you need. You don't have to put on Jordans and Jabos and a bottom grill to think that's what it takes to reach the youth. You don't have to listen to the secular music because you got to know what's up so you know what to speak against. No, sir. If you want to know what to speak against, seek ye the kingdom first. God will reveal it to you. Let God give you a revelation, because I'm certain that if you are operating according to what he has planned for you, and you are not speaking out of your flesh, but you're speaking in accordance to the spirit, I guarantee you, he's going to reveal to you what you need to say right then. He will give you a now word. He will give you a rhema. He will give you a dunamis word. He will give you something that's going to make an impact right now. You ain't got to worry about what little Yahtzee, little Zane, little Flip, little Scrappy, Lil Bow Wow, any other little secular rapper, whatever they out there doing, so that you can minister. You ain't got to do that. All you need to be concerned about is what the 66 books are saying, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and I guarantee you he's going to direct you. So I want you to be mindful of how you present the package. Fellas, if you were to take any gift and present it to your wife, unwrapped, just open your hand up. Here, babe. She might say, oh, thank you. Take that same gift, and I want you to delicately place it in a box, then wrap it with beautiful wrapping paper. Place a wonderfully and elegantly tied bow on the top and present it to her. The reaction will be different. Be mindful of how you present the package. The package or the gift is Christ. Be mindful how you present the package or the gift of Christ. Don't do it with arrogance. Don't do it with flesh. Don't do it by browbeating. Don't do it with a eye. Do it with love. Present the presence in a beautiful manner, and I promise you it shall be received. Remember, all you're doing is planting the seed. Somebody else gonna come and water. It is the Lord who's gonna give the increase. Stop looking for that immediate increase, and I guarantee you, you will become more focused on presenting the presence of the Lord. God bless y'all. I'm gonna holler at you next week if the Lord says the same, and I'm gonna find out once again. Can I holler at you?
Can I holler at you, man? That was a great word. That bottom grill line had me rolling, man. Hey, man, I don't know why Durham was climbing my little flip, man. Yeah, game over, man. That's a classic, man. Now, let's scrap any rest of them you can have, but I got to keep my little flip game over. All right, so I'm going to post up with my bottom grill, with my Jordans, man, and we're going to make it do what it do. All right? So, I really dig the Can I Holler At You segments, man. They really just, you know what I'm saying, give you a nice appetizer to start on, man, you know, as we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. I really thank Durin, like, seriously, for taking time out, man, because I know he gigging twice, man, and, you know, really trying to make it happen, you know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate him for doing what he do, taking the time off, man, you know what I'm saying, to record it, to send it, you know what I'm saying? So and the heart and the thought process, you can tell when somebody just throws something together, man. So I appreciate you, bro. I love you, man. So, man, usually I would jump into a song right here, but, man, we got to jump into the topic tonight because it's so heavy, you know what I'm saying? I may have talked about it a few years ago, forgiveness, but it's one of those things, man, that we can actually talk about every day. You know what I'm saying? Daily forgiveness. And I'm going to rock it out like this, man. Imagine this. And I talked about some of this on the live video. Once again, if you're streaming, you can call in live 347-996-5129. And that'll get you on the show live, all right? But check this out, man. Imagine one day you were walking through a store. All right? You were walking through a store, and there was an individual in the store that had a cup of red Kool-Aid. All right? You're in your own world, you're shopping, you're looking for something. So let's just say, you know, you reached up on one of the shelves to get down one or something and three came down. In the process of how these three came down, you went to go catch them. So, I'm sorry, y'all. Wow, that was so rude of me. But you went to go catch them so, you know, they wouldn't hit the floor and break. And in that process, you bumped into this person that had on white jeans and white shoes, man, and a white tee, and you spilt this red Kool-Aid onto this person. You and the person exchanged words, whatever the case may be. After the words were exchanged, you finished with what you came to the store to do. You went on about your way. All that person could harp on and keep repeating to himself or themselves and everybody that they met is how you knocked and spilt red Kool-Aid all over their white shirt, white pants, and white shoes. Now, the thing is that you yourself, after the scenario has happened, you're going on about your business, shopping at home, kicking with the family. You said your piece. You tried to make your piece. You know what I'm saying? Offer to buy the person a new shirt, you know what I'm saying, to get it laundered for them or whatever the case may be. But you made your peace with it. And you went on about your day. But this person, it ruined their day. And that is the talk of their day for like the next 3 weeks. All they could do was harp on how red Kool-Aid was spilled on their white tee, white pants, white shoes. Truth is, y'all, life is very similar to that scenario. Many times we get involved with people. We get involved in relationships. We get involved in situations. And it seems like that we have a complex, and I'm using the word complex, you know what I'm saying, to state a fact. But we have this complex sometimes that we're always dressed in all white, that we're perfect, that we're without spot, without blemish, we're blameless. And anything that comes in our life or comes through our path that puts any type of stain or wrinkle or blemish or whatever the case may be on our white life, that it has to be the other person's fault, and we have to carry a grudge. If we think about it, from a very young age, we've been taught, per se, to carry a grudge. But the thing is that what we don't realize is that to every action, there is a consequence. So when we carry these grudges, whether the offense was accidental, whether the offense was unintentional, that we feel like we are blameless on all sides. And we try to place ourselves on these "it ain't my fault" pedestals. Through the course of life, we all have made bad decisions. We've all made bad choices. We've, you know what I'm saying, done bad things. Now, let's go back to this grocery store situation, man. And as you have apologized to this individual, you've offered to buy them, "Hey, you know, Family Dollar sale, white tees. You know what I'm saying? This is where we at. Let me buy you another white tee." But it wasn't good enough. "Hey, there's a cleaner down the street. You know what I'm saying? My bad. But you tell them that there's a cleaners down the street. If you go home and change, man, meet me at the cleaners. I'd be more than happy, you know what I'm saying, to pick up the bill for you. It wasn't good enough. And at that exact moment, you know, it seems like that you have, you know, offended this individual. So, you know, understand. But flip that scenario to God. Imagine. We've, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and just be this way. From the time I got out the military, man, at 22, up until I was about 27, I was a straight fool. I was a straight knucklehead, man. I drank everything in sight. I smoked everything in sight. I slept with, you know what I'm saying, any female that crossed my path. And it's like, consciously, I knew who God was. But on the same token, it was like, oh, well, I'm living now. And to that one fateful day, man, that I had my second suicide attempt, and God spoke to me. And God forgave me. You know, the thing is, man, is that we always talk about the judgment of God. But what we fail to realize that even with the judgment of God, there's a chance for forgiveness and there's a chance for repentance. Many times we attempt to place ourselves to be bigger than God when someone offends us, but we forget where we were in the world and what we were doing and constantly offending God on a day-to-day basis. The thing is, man, is that we've all fallen short. But we try to make ourselves look so big and so perfect. Pride. Now, as I gave this analogy back at the store, you've gone about your business. You've ruined this person's life for like 3 weeks, man. They cannot just get over the fact that you spilled red Kool-Aid on their white pants, their white tee, in their white shoes. They're holding this grudge. It's eating away at them. It's chipping away at them day in, day out. And it consumes them. And I know that may be a small analogy, but I want us to really translate that over to our everyday walk. To our everyday life. We have been in situations with people, relationships, family, friends. We've done, look, I'm gonna be like real with y'all, man. I've done my fair share of trespassing against. And I've been trespassed against as well. But how is it that I owe someone $100, but I'm nagging the person that owes me $5? We have to get to a point in time to where we have to see things through God's eyes, through God's spirit. Even Christ, man, when he healed, and the healing from Christ, man, was an absolute miracle. It was forgiveness at its fullest. Christ wasn't worried about what they had done, what state they were in before he met them, what their excuse was. Even the man that was in the pool when the angel would come down, was it Bethesda, I believe? And, you know, he would say, you know, he was laying by the pool, and a certain season, the angel would come down and trouble the water, and the first man in would be healed. And it was just his excuse to lay there. I have no man to put me in. And my pastor always gave a great analogy. It's like, get as close to the pool as you can. As you see the waters being troubled, just roll on in. But we always look for an excuse to why we can't forgive someone, but they. And we end up lifting up our eyes in hell for a but they and but them have went on, repented with God, and lived their life and forgot all about you and that trespass. See, the thing is, man, a penny may mean the world to a three-year-old. A dollar may mean the world to these kids nowadays, five-year-old. Where $100 may mean the world to a 20-year-old, that $10,000 may mean to me. It's all about where you are in your life at that point in time. So many times when people trespass against you, they don't know where you are in your life, and you can't judge where they are in their life. They may trespass against you unknowingly. So does it warrant you hold that against them for the rest of their life and have yourself sick and upset and can't function? You can't eat. You can't smile. You can't be happy. Really? So you've allowed this person or that situation to consume you and have that much freaking control over you? Yo, I understand the easy thing could say is, hey, put on your big boy or your big girl underwear and keep it pushing. Situations hurt, man. But so many times, we don't forgive. We move on. We never deal with the situation that was at hand. We just move on. We bury these things so deep within us. And see, the thing is, the Bible teaches us that what you shall plant, you shall also reap. So the thing is that when we're harboring these feelings and harboring these emotions and we plant this stuff deep down on the inside of us, the perfect storm, the perfect amount of sunlight, the perfect rain, the perfect conditions, the perfect situations will sprout that pain, that hurt, that anger, that distrust, that mistrust, that deception. And the messed up part about it is, it could be in the midst of your breakthrough. It could be in the midst of your blessing. It could be in the midst of that relationship that you have been praying for God for. He finally sent it to you, but you did not learn to let go and forgive yourself. Now, I'm not saying be petty with forgiving yourself. You know good and well you stole this person's money, but you want to forgive yourself before you even go and acknowledge the fact that you did it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that a situation has happened. You try to reconcile. The person may have said, "Nah, I ain't trying to hear that." You've taken it to God. You know what I'm saying? You've worked on yourself. You've fasted about it, prayed about it, you've repented about it, and now it's like, well, God, I just can't shake it. You got to forgive yourself. You got to move on. But yet, parties with the juice and the punch and the pie and the chips with the nice picnic ice cubes, and everybody sitting around drinking to your pity and your sorrows. because you don't want to forgive yourself. I know it can be a hard thing to forgive yourself. It's something you got to work on. Imagine this. Husband and wife. And husband goes out and cheats on the wife. Wife finds out at some point in time in the future. Wife comes home to pack her clothes. Wife doesn't understand how and why she deserved it. She's questioning herself. She's questioning God. Why would you send me a man that would cheat on me? But she didn't realize that the whole time that she was married, because of a previous marriage, she had never fully bought into this marriage. There were certain factors missing in the marriage. Appreciation, the laughter, the alone time could have been what the husband had been longing for. And the reason why the woman hadn't bought into this marriage is because she was in a previous relationship where she attempted to give her all, and it was misused and thrown back in her face. And that has caused her to be on guard for the rest of her life. So even when the man of her dreams came along, swept her off of her feet, made sure that she was taken care of, she still did not understand how she needed to forgive for her. Now, I'm not giving a pass to the man that went out and cheated. For argument's sake, maybe his last relationship before he got married, he was really into that relationship. Found out that his ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, or whomever cheated on him. He hadn't let go. He couldn't forgive himself. So by him not being able to forgive himself, he couldn't understand how someone else could possibly love him that much. So even though they had different reasons, they both sabotaged their own relationships. What if when we went repenting and God says, well, remember such and such day I instructed you to do this, or I instructed you to do that, and you did not, you disobeyed me. Do you remember when I had the path let out for you to do X, Y, and Z, but you wanted to do your own thing and you cheated on me? What if God was to just cast us from his presence? What if God were to just say, I'm turning my back on you, you've hurt me enough? See, we're at a point in time to where it seems like that the word of God only is good to us when it applies to us for the betterment. We forget that the word of God is a double-edged sword, that it cuts coming and it cuts going, but we only want to see it cutting going. We don't want no parts of that cutting coming. We don't want no parts of the Ginsu then. See, forgiveness allows you to totally let go and live. Come to reality of what happened and deal with it. Understand, you know, a lot of times we're in denial, and that's why we can't get over things. That's why we can't forgive, because we're in denial when it happens. Y'all, to me, like real talk, one of the biggest betrayals to me is Judas. Here's a man, and I'm just gonna be real, man. We all have had a little bit of Judas in us. We've all had characteristics and traits of Judas in our lives. We get up in the morning and blessing God and thanking God for another day. We get that new car and get them new kicks, and we get that new boo and get that new crib and we get that new job. Just like Judas got them coins. And we the man now. We good now. But we fail to realize, man, that stuff is for a moment. It's very temporary. We've all been to this place to where those little coins have set us above a few of our family and a few of our friends, and now we want to do what we want to do, and we stop praying, and we stop seeking God, and we stop listening, and we stop pressing. And now that becomes our God. Even as Judas got those pieces of silver, and he thought he had everything that he ever wanted, and he looked upon Christ as he was being crucified, he realized the mistake that he had made. And even Christ, being beat, being spit on, being lied on, being persecuted, being laughed at, being pointed at, and being made a spectacle of. When the nails went in his feet, and the nails went in his hands, and he was crowned with thorns and lifted up for all eyes to see as a spectacle of the world, he still managed to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Judas went and hung himself, come to terms with forgiving himself for what he had done. too many times we hang ourselves in our lives. And we end good things just for not being able to come to terms with what really happened. The thing is that all those people that were laughing at Christ, all those people that pointed and shouted, "Crucify him, his blood be on us and our children," Christ still forgave them. I said that to say this, people. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. When we have hatred against or with someone, I believe that it's a bond. It's a bond that holds you together forever. It entraps you. It disables you to move on and move forward. It disables you to move ahead. If there's anyone that's listening right now, and you have a family member, a friend, that you may have had words with, that y'all may not have seen eye to eye on a situation, you need to forgive them. Y'all know the story, man, about my moms, my biological mother, not my grandma who raised me. My moms gave me up at 3 months, man, and I found this out. I was about 11, 12 years old, and it shook my world upside down. I hated her. I hate the fact that she threw me away like trash. She had me and didn't want the responsibility of raising me. And then she had another son, did the same to him. Then had another son and then decided to keep him, but then take care of one of her sister's kids, and you couldn't take care of your freaking own. As we grew up, man, as I grew up, I couldn't stand her. The sight of her, I would go in the other direction. My graduation night, man, I had an extra ticket. I tore it up and threw it away versus giving it to her. I was so infumed, man. I was so, oh my God, I can't think of the appropriate word right now, but I was consumed with rage and anger for the simple fact that this lady gave me up at 3 months old. As I got into my 20s, I came back from the military, and she was in the town at the time. And I would go over to my grandma's house to wash clothes. And my grandma, she was one of those grandmas, man, that didn't allow people in, you know, in the dining room. Y'all know how grandmas are. Nah, you got to go watch TV somewhere. You can't lounge around on my good couches, you know. But when I would come over to wash my clothes, she would allow me to, you know what I'm saying, go in the living room. Because I couldn't afford cable at the moment. So, you know, I wash my clothes every Monday night. I'll go over to her house, watch wrestling, you know what I'm saying, and do my thing. Catch a cab back home and, you know, whatever, whatever. And my mama showed up over there one night. And my little brother Herschel, man, he was running through the house. And my grandma said something about it. So her and You know what I'm saying? My biological mom started to have words. So, of course, you know what I'm saying? My grandma is my mama. Well, man, I don't know who you are. You know what I'm saying? You're not my mama. So we had words. So she accused my grandma of, you know, treating me like king and whatever. But, you know, well, she had to understand she raised me. I was her baby. You gave him to me. So this is my baby. We got into a huge argument. I mean, like a fuss, cuss, yell type deal. And even as much as I hated my mama, man, I didn't have, you know, I mean, it's just like I just didn't talk to her. I never really cussed her out and talked real bad to her and really let her know how I felt. She ended up leaving the house in an ambulance that day. She had like a panic attack, and I could care less. I cared less, y'all. I'm just being real about it. I cared less. Years later, man, got ready to get married, turned my life around. Hadn't really talked to her much, man. Didn't want to. I'm 27-ish at the time, man. I done met my father. You know, I mean, I'm getting where I need to be. I called her, y'all, and I made peace with her. My exact words to her was, her name was Zella. Zella, look, I understand, man. We ain't had the best relationship, and I'm getting ready to enter into the ministry. And this hate that I have for you, I cannot harbor it any longer. I'm letting it go. Whatever was done is done. I'm grown. I have to let it go. I told her I loved her. I let it be. She died less than a year later. I had to go up to Kansas City and put money on a funeral. Make my peace. Up until that point in time, people, I was suffering from abandonment issues. My first marriage, man, I was so possessive. I was so, anything would set me off, man. I mean, I'd be like a firecracker, dude. I had mama issues. I mean, I'm just going to be real with y'all. I hadn't dealt with them. I harbored them. And it wouldn't let me have a fulfilling relationship, man. I'd be with a chick for a minute. And, you know, as soon as I didn't have control, or if it seemed like I didn't have control over her anymore, I would let her go and find another I could control for a period of time. I'm being for real. But by me forgiving her, and I forgave myself for the way that I have been acting, or the way that I acted, called various people, man, and asked them to forgive me as well. Didn't understand the impact that I had had on some people's lives. And because of me calling, asking for forgiveness out the blue, they were like, wow, I was holding on to the way that you did me. Life is crazy, man. But you got to learn how to forgive. You got to learn how to let it go. Not just for them, but for you. And at the end of the day, if you don't learn how to forgive, you will never know what forgiveness feels like. Because you will not be able to experience anyone forgiving you. I really hope, man, that this show helps. Not just this episode, but Kingdom Talk as a whole. I believe in April, man, I hit my 5-year mark of doing Kingdom Talk Radio. It might have been this month. I think it's next month. I'm not 100% sure, man. I love doing this show. Sometimes it gives me a chance to get some things off my chest. And if you judge me, oh well for it. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But the streets right now are full of people, are full of tough guys who are holding grudges. And I'm going to leave this with you, man. And if my grandma, if mama was living right now, she'll say it. Baby, always forgive, but don't be no fool. And it's easy to forgive people sometimes, man, but if you know that they're going to do you in again, forgive them and keep it pushing. You know what I'm saying? Bible says turn the other cheek, and I feel that wholeheartedly. And you forgive and you forgive and you forgive, but if it's going to continue to hold you back, man, hey, you gotta love people from a distance. Hey, I love you, man, but I can't allow you to keep doing me like this, man. I'm gonna have to keep you pushing. I have to love you from a distance, like real talk, because it's destroying me. I'm done with Kingdom Talk for the night, man. It got me feeling some type of way right now. I know I usually pray off the show, man, but on tonight, I would like to pray in a different fashion. If you're listening, I'm asking that you go into prayer with me. For me. Stand with me, and I'll do the same with you in the spirit, man. But a lot of times it feels like that when we go to God in prayer, that we have to have this eloquent prayer on our tongues, man, that God just wants you to come just how you are. And as the time winds down, don't forget that there will be no Kingdom Talk next Tuesday night. We'll return in 2 weeks. And we're just going to have a conversation with God, man, very briefly. 90 seconds. And I'm going to start my conversation like this. God, you know my heart. You know my desires. You know my wants. You know my needs. You know my downfalls. And I expose my all to you. And God, as I wake up daily and I look to please you in every way, shape, form, and fashion, and mindset, and heart, Lord, I just want you to continue to empower my mind to continue to push on and be who you want me to be. Lord, I ask that the things that I've done consciously and unconsciously against you, against your word, against my spirit, man, I ask that you forgive me. And Lord, I'm going to forgive myself so I will no longer be held back by the lies and the accusations of the enemy. Lord, I love you. Lord, I ask that you continue to strengthen me, to continue to provide for my family. But in the process of providing for my family, that I know that it's through you that all these things are possible. And I can do nothing without you. Continue to protect. Continue to look over. Continue to bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Always remember, y'all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. It's Tony Dyson, man, signing off for Kingdom Talk Radio. Know that I love you, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm feeling some type of way yet right now, y'all, but I'm going to go ahead and get off the air, man. Because those who are streaming, they've been cut off. You all haven't been allowed to stay on because you're there. I'm gonna say this, man, because we're still live to you on the phone. We got to get to a point that our emotions have to be set to the side. Because sometimes we can become too emotional and our emotions will rule us. Because that's what we feed into. A lot of decisions we make are out of emotion. We got to check ourselves, man. Understand that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And there are times, man, that God just wants you to call out to him. There are times, man, I hate to use this example, man, but there are times to where when we go before God, it's like, you know, I don't know if anybody has ever been, you know, like to jail before. But when you go to jail, man, they strip you. They check you. They check your mouth. They check every nook and cranny. They expose you. God wants the same. You may not be able to expose your heart to people. But if you expose your heart to God, he will guard it. And he will allow you to know how to guard it the right way. He will show you how to forgive. He'll show you how to love. He'll show you how to live. We all are a work in progress, man. And at the very end of the day, at the very end of the day, that's what's going to get us through. All right, y'all, I'm done. I love y'all. Thanks for listening in, man. I appreciate y'all more than you know. I'll catch y'all in 2 weeks, man. I love you. Tony Dyson once again, signing off.